More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
The left focuses on different things than we do. In a big way. Welcome back to Clay and Buck Show. This is Buck in NYC. Solo today, Clay on vacation. We have different priorities, it seems. You will see that in a city like New York, where I'm currently doing the show, where I live, where I was born and raised, I know this town as well as anybody, and worked for the NYPD Intelligence Division for a little while, so worked in city government. I know this place quite well. And you have, yeah, I know they're going to always say, oh, you can walk and chew gum at the same time. I was going to say spit and chew gum at the same time, but that wouldn't work, actually. You can walk and chew gum at the same time. And you can do more than one thing, sure, but focus matters. Resources, time, attention, that all matters a whole heck of a lot in life and government and everything. And so while we will have in New York debates over whether we should remove, or they, the left, will force debates over whether we should remove a Thomas Jefferson statue because it makes people uncomfortable, including very outspoken about this, the mayor of New York City's wife and the worst mayor in I think maybe in American history. There might have been some mayor who, you know, did worse things, but for right now, I don't know. I think de Blasio is just the worst. He's at a level that is almost impossible to imagine anybody could have been worse than. So, okay, there are worse mayors in history, but he's the worst right now. The point being that they focus on things that don't really matter to day-to-day life of people, and we have crime surging out of control in a lot of cities, getting worse and worse all the time. And the left wants to look at the cosmetics of issues. They want to look at what is superficial, what makes them feel good. I'll get into some of the crime issues specifically. Philadelphia, 500 murders this year. Philadelphia is not that big of a city, folks. I mean, when you start to do the numbers on this, and you extrapolate it out to what it would mean, I mean, Philadelphia is 1.5 million people. You'd have to go at least five times that. So that would be like New York City being at its all-time peak of over 2,000 murders. Just to put the math in perspective here. 500 murders in Philadelphia is, mathematically speaking, New York City in the early 1990s when it had over 200 plus murders in 1992 or 1993, I think, was the biggest year for homicides. And of course, with that, all the other crimes that come along. But, you know, the left is training people all across the country not to focus on that. The Democrat Party, the Biden administration, they don't want to talk about that. No, they'd much rather discuss problems of a lack of wokeness. This is just one of these man on the street interview things that sometimes conservatives will do to show what college kids think. This one was pretty worth hearing, I believe. Here are students, college kids being asked. It's campus reform. Thank you. I wanted to make sure we give them the hat tip. Here's campus reform asking, should we rename, it is Black Friday today, should we rename Black Friday.
I don't like the name Black Friday. I never really have since I was small.
I'm cool with changing it. Would you support such a change?
I never saw it that way, but if like enough people think that it should be that way, then like I don't see a problem with it.
I mean, I think it's definitely a valid opinion. I kind of agree that the name should be changed just because, yeah, Black Friday sounds offensive.
What if I told you that the term Black Friday has nothing to do with race? When stores are in the red, it's said that they're not making any profits. So a lot of stores say that they're in the red before the day after Thanksgiving. And once Black Friday hits, they're in the black. Should we still change it?
No, I think nobody should overanalyze it. If it's not about skin color, then I don't see that there's a problem.
If you, like, you know, want to just rename it to, like, spare the feelings, like, that's not helpful.
Knowing really what it does mean, it just kind of makes me think, like, okay, this isn't something that's actually offensive. So people getting offended by it seems a little, I don't want to call it stupid, but, like, a little dumb.
A lot of leftism is driven by things being a little dumb, people being a little dumb, not understanding the history of things, of words, of places, of people, but the propaganda organs of the left. This is why I keep saying wokeness going crazy all across America isn't something that we should sit here and celebrate as, see, they're nuts. Look at how far they've been able to go. Look at what they've been able to achieve. And if you think that CRT is only in blue states in the school system, it's not true. I have friends who, this is what they do. This is what they handle. CRT. They look at this issue all the time. And sure enough, there's plenty of CRT in red schools. It's all over the country. It's all over the place. This leftist madness. They have seized control of the most important media platforms, of social media. They are in control of the internet largely. They still have 95% of so-called national media journalists completely, not just on their team, they're activists. I mean, they're actively seeking to pursue certain ends. And yeah, they've said things like, you know, men can get pregnant. And we say, see, they've lost their minds. Yeah, but look at how far they've gotten with their crazy. We got a lot of work to do here, folks. Sure, the tide is turning, but it's like they just fumbled on our 10-yard line. Okay, now we have to march upfield in the other direction. This isn't a moment to say, aha, look how dumb they are. I've also got to tell you, it's not that they necessarily repudiate the philosophy they have around all these issues. It's not that they recognize that they're wrong on a moral or ethical level. It's about what works for them. It's about, does this help their power or not? That's why even when we've played some sound bites from Bill Maher from his show in the past, and he'll say the left is, and he has some pretty good monologues on how the left is crazy and they go woke. Yeah, but one of his major arguments is really about the utility of this and how it looks so dumb that you can't have a Joe Biden, you can't have these Democrats coming forward pretending like their party isn't insane if they're this crazy. You know, it's not, oh, we need to look at what we're really saying and reevaluate some of our core beliefs as leftists, as Marxists in America. That's not what they're saying. They're saying this isn't a good look for us because we need to fool that middle 5, 10 or 15% of the country. We need to fool them into thinking we're not the crazy Democrat party that we are. Don't you see? So I have a very different view on this than a lot of other people. I'm not sitting here saying, ha ha. Yeah, of course, they say stupid things and they're absurd and they are frauds and they're hypocrites and they talk about climate change. Oh, my gosh. And then they go and buy waterfront mansions all over the place and they fly in their private jets to their climate change conferences. Yeah. But you see, it's not that they feel badly for propagating lunacy. It's that they're being caught. There's a difference. It's that people are seeing this and saying, whoa, hold on a second. Enough people. You'll never get everybody to see reality. I mean, look at what's going on right now with the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict aftermath. There are still people who say, yeah, but he's still a racist and a bad person and should have gone to prison. Important people in the media say this. You say, how could anyone who understands the most basic, the most rudimentary things about self-defense as a matter of law and a matter of ethics see the Kyle Rittenhouse trial and think anything other than Kyle Rittenhouse was absolutely not guilty beyond that. He was innocent of any wrongdoing. It is clear he did nothing wrong. Some people you can never convince of anything. You can't convince them that there's something really off-putting about these thief mobs that gather together. Coordinated, organized, stealing $100,000 of stuff in one fell swoop sometimes. Right. There's something going on. This is not something you've seen all over the country for decades and decades. There's something new about this. There's a new mentality. There's a new sense of what people can get away with when it comes to breaking the law. Oh, but the left says no. They say that can't be the case. It's just property. It's just property. They tell you. We'll come back to this in a second. A celebrity who does get into it with people. And this is, I think these Hollywood celebrities, they're so dumb and they're such overpaid, pampered babies. And it's frustrating to even spend any time, but they have big followings. And so they pollute the minds of people who think because they are good at, you know, writing jokes about taking bong rips and, you know, potty humor, that you should listen to them about whether, you know, we have a First Amendment in this country that's protected by big tech and whether we should reform Section 230. They got ideas on everything, even though they're not very bright or well-informed. They're very rich, very influential. So one of them had a really revealing exchange over the weekend. It is a fellow named Seth Rogen, who has basically played the same pudgy stoner in every movie he's ever been in, but has made millions and millions of dollars doing it. He had some thoughts on crime in L.A. I had a little experience I'll share with you, too. We come back. And then the second hour, we'll get more into Waukesha. I'm not forgetting about Waukesha. I'm not letting this just slip out of the headlines. I'm not letting them get away with what they wanted to do, very obviously, all along, which is to make this disappear as a story. Make this something that people vaguely remember. Because the narrative must be that the real threat in this country, and they write articles about this, the real threat are the white supremacist terrorists who are looking to overthrow the government at any moment and will kill you in your own front yard for no reason. That's what the national media wants people to believe. Really. We'll get into more of that in a moment. Today's Black Friday, so I want you to celebrate softness season with the help of Tommy John underwear, loungewear, and pajamas. When you start your day wearing Tommy John, you're that much more comfortable so you can do everything better. Shop their Black Friday sale today and give the gift of comfort to everyone on your list, including yourself, with Tommy John men's and women's loungewear. 16 million pairs sold. I mean, that says a lot, right? This is a brand that focuses on comfort. As I am talking to you right now, I'm wearing my Tommy John t-shirt. It is so comfy. You're going to love it. I can't buy enough of this stuff. This holiday, make everyone in your family that much more comfortable with the gift of Tommy John loungewear, underwear, and bras. Plus, it's all backed by Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. During Tommy John's Black Friday sale, get 20% off site-wide plus free shipping at TommyJohn.com/buck. That's 20% off plus free shipping for a limited time only at TommyJohn.com/buck. Go right now to TommyJohn.com/buck. See site for details.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from my, this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck in NYC, solo at the helm today of the EIB as Clay is off on vacation. Back with us on Monday. Thanks for staying here with me, and be sure to check out the Buck Sexton podcast whenever you get a chance, wherever you listen to podcasts. It's every morning, Monday through Friday. I put one out today. So we have now a moment where we see exactly how the propaganda gets made by the Democrat apparatus. We're seeing it right now. I mean, it's happening day in and day out. There was, right after the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict, and that certainly would be an indicator, right? That seems to be timing worth noting. When you talk about things like motive, this all matters. State of mind, timing. You ever watch a trial, they'll ask all kinds of questions about this. Why did you do the thing you did? And in Waukesha, we had a mass murder, a mass casualty attack. It was an attack. And they're already, in real time, Soviet style, trying to rewrite the history of it in such a way that you think very differently about it. You may not even know that this is happening. Here you go. The New York Times, one of the worst Marxist, commie apologist garbage heaps you could find anywhere in America. They're awful and dishonest in their reporting on a regular basis, and they would have gone out of business were it not for a foreign billionaire injecting them with cash. But anyway, everything went black. The children caught in a Christmas parade tragedy is the headline. A child died on Tuesday and scores of other children were injured when an SUV barreled through the parade on Sunday in Waukesha, Wisconsin. When an SUV barreled through the parade? Was anyone driving that SUV? Was there any intention behind the zigzagging the SUV engaged in to crush and murder and maim more people? Can you imagine if there was a mass shooting anywhere in this country of, and I believe in, entirely in this case, all the victims were I believe they're white. That may not be the case. I think all of them were, though. But I may be wrong about that. I have to check on that. But imagine, just for the purposes of our discussion, that all of the victims were minorities, right? And that there was a white shooter. And the story headline was, a gun started going off and hitting people in a tragedy. People would rightly think that was horrific and lose their minds about the dishonesty. How different is that from what the New York Times is doing right here? An SUV barreled through. Barreled through why? Who? For what purpose? Caught in a Christmas parade tragedy? No, my friends, they were caught in a mass murder by a man, a black man who had said repeatedly on social media he wanted to hurt and take down and attack white people. Now, these are the facts as we have them currently. Those are the facts as laid out by his social media posts, by the police, by what we have. And we've had nothing about motive. Is it possible for there to be a hate crime or a domestic terror attack against white people? As a matter of law, the answer is yes. But politically, is that something that Democrats accept? I will tell you, if you speak to leftists, as I do frequently, believe it or not, if you speak to a leftist and say, is anti-white racism even possible in America? They will tell you no. No. In fact, there are some on the left who are, I'm talking about so-called intellectuals and, you know, people of public note, who will tell you that, in fact, any racism that doesn't even involve white individuals, or it doesn't involve whiteness, white supremacy, or any of that. So let's say anti-Asian racism from a member of the black community, let's just say, or the Latino community, or whatever. It all comes, white supremacy is the cause of all the oppression that intersectionality deals with. It's dizzying, it's incoherent, doesn't even make sense. That is the belief of the left. They'll tell you there's no such thing as anti-white racism or an anti-white terror attack. And yet, as a matter of law, that is quite clearly possible. And if you look at this, I know they want us to forget about what the likely motive is here, but all the indicators are, the analysis of this would be, this was a hate crime attack by an individual who maybe he snapped or whatever. There are many factors we could talk about, but he was angry. Was he angry specifically in response to the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict? That we don't know yet. It is plausible. I think we'll find out, and we'll find out in time. We're not going to find out right away because they don't want you to. Why? They want you to forget about Waukesha. I say no. I say we get the answers. We get to the truth. All right, team, we're going to be getting into the latest on the Omicron variant. Does it mean more travel restrictions? Could we even have travel restrictions here in the U.S.? Could there be lockdowns coming in places around the world and maybe here at home? We'll address all of that with Alex Berenson, author of Pandemia, in just a few.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.
Welcome into the third hour of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Buck here solo in NYC today. Thanks for spending your Black Friday with me. If you've been here, if you're just joining, welcome. We have breaking news for you. This is not a quiet news day at all, friends. Dow getting crushed down 900 points today. Stock market showing the economic worries people have right now. The travel industry on edge because the breaking news I have for you in just the last few minutes. The U.S. is banning some travel from South Africa and seven other countries as of Monday. That's right. Travel bans under Biden going back into effect here after a long lull. Remember, we had travel bans under Trump. Now we have U.S. to restrict travel from South Africa and seven other countries starting on Monday. We've got someone who can certainly shed some light on what's going on here with all this. This is all in response to the Omicron variant of COVID-19 that has many people very concerned. Alex Berenson is with us now. Please subscribe to his Substack for his research on COVID-19 and also Pandemia. His book is out soon. Alex, thanks for being here.
Yes, Buck. Thanks. Thanks for having me. Let me quickly mention Pandemia because I know we're going to get to all this stuff. And before we know
go
it,
for
it's going to come up. So Pandemia will be out Tuesday. I know we're supposed to talk about it with, you and Clay are both required to talk about it to me next week. But it's going to be out Tuesday. You can actually download the Audible, audiobook now, and you can get it on Amazon for delivery Tuesday. And so far, I think it'll be interesting to people, even if you followed this pretty closely. I think it hopefully puts it all in context, and sort of gives you an idea of where we are right now. So that's Pandemia, but yeah, we've got lots to talk about.
Yeah, all right. Let's start with the breaking news, Alex. I mean, we haven't even had a chance to coordinate or say anything to each other about this because it just came up in the last few minutes. Travel ban from eight nations, a U.S. travel ban. There's also, I think, a couple dozen other countries that have travel.
Europeans, yep.
Yeah, European countries that have a travel ban about South Africa and some other places. I mean, first of all, what do they think this is going to do? What's going on here? I mean, people are going to be saying, what the heck?
Okay, so this is very interesting, and there's two possibilities. Possibility one is this is actually dangerous, right? This is I would say, based on what they're saying, there are a lot of mutations here. It clearly can be given to and transmitted from vaccinated people. We already know that about this strain. And if you look at the case count in South Africa, it's interesting because, you know, case counts typically spike pretty quickly with coronavirus. This is a sort of whole new level of speed. It looks like a wall. That's how vertical the case count has been in the last week. You know, it doesn't look like a mountain. It looks like a wall, like straight up and down. And so, you know, so there may be real concern about this. At the same time, what I would say is I don't think they have any idea whether or not this is actually more dangerous to people. You know, none of the variants have really proven more dangerous. They've proven, you know, the Delta variant is more transmissible, but there's not really that much evidence in the end that it's actually more dangerous to the people who get it. There's a back and forth about this. If it is more dangerous, it's marginally more dangerous. And I would also say there's no evidence that vaccinating people against this new variant will do them any good, you know, as compared to, you know, vaccinating them against earlier variants. So in other words, we already know vaccine efficacy has waned in general, and that's why they're pushing these boosters. And with this variant, which has so many different, you know, different changes in its genome and looks different when, you know, when they model it, it may even be, a vaccination may even be less useful. And so the cynic in me says, this is just an effort to sort of try to panic people to get, you know, it's another way to try to get people vaccinated when vaccinations are clearly stalled all over the United States, where people don't want the booster, where there's increasing resistance to the mandate. What are we going to do? We're going to talk up this new variant and scare people. That, you know, so that's one possibility. The other possibility is that there is actually something to be frightened of. I don't think we know yet. I think either possibility is bad, though, honestly, because either, once again, we can't trust the public health authorities, or they're telling us something we should really be scared of.
We're speaking to Alex Berenson, author of Pandemia, which comes out on Tuesday, his book on this pandemic. I already have my copy, and I'm reading it this weekend, folks. Alex, I got to also ask here, what is the plan? I played Fauci audio earlier in the show today where he says, we don't know how long the boosters are going to last, and so if we got to get them for years, and that was his word, years, that's what we're going to do. We also have people now, you know, the pandemic of the unvaccinated became a very sort of moralizing line here from people, where it wasn't just, please get the vaccine, it was, you're a bad person if you don't, because you're going to then, you know, create all these variants. To this, I just want to say, well, is the plan really to get everyone around the world, not only vaccinated, and I mean everybody, but to get them vaccinated in perpetuity in a schedule that would stop the variants? Because that seems completely impossible. What is the plan?
You've got me what the plan is. I mean, before this thing today, and I don't want to say this nonsense because this does appear to be a real variant, I we've been talking for months, and I've said to you, there's going to be a spike in cases in the fall and the winter in the U.S., look at what's happening in Europe. It's going to happen here. All these people who are telling you that, you know, this is over are wrong. I think, you know, you can probably find those clips of me saying that to you, you know, that I don't like to make predictions, but that one seemed pretty clear. I was actually trying to look past the winter and saying to myself, is it possible that both medically and politically things will look better in 3 or 4 months? And the reason is not because of the vaccines, because the vaccines are clearly, you know, at best a stopgap at best, and probably even less than that. But because of the, you know, this new drug, which has sort of very promising results in this clinical trial that Pfizer conducted. And then combine that with, as you say, I think people are just, they're sick of it. Okay. They're sick of all of it, and they don't want boosters. You know, there may be a small fraction of older people who are sort of happy enough to line up for this over and over again, but I think most working age people, much less parents thinking about their kids, are not going to want to get boosters every 3 or 4 or 5 months. They're going to think it's insane. And so my feeling was, okay, we're going to have these therapeutics, these drugs that are going to help attack the virus directly. And at the same time, the Supreme Court is likely to strike down this mandate. It will expire, or, you know, will be struck down without ever even taking effect. And ultimately, the Democrats are going to have to just basically declare victory and go home. And, you know, that will happen at some point in the winter or the spring. You know, unfortunately, that's not what's happening in Europe. In Europe, they are talking, you know, about going back into lockdown. They are talking about vaccine mandates that would include a third dose, that you will be considered unvaccinated if you don't get a booster shot. The Democrats are more like
Wait, can I jump in, Alex? Because there's something important here, because Fauci said this before again. Do we even know how long the boosters, I mean, we're assuming the boosters give you like another 6 months. Do we know that that's true?
No, we don't know that's true. I mean, in Israel, they have knocked cases down to close to zero, but that's over 3 months. Okay, so they started in August, and the Israelis said a couple of days ago, we're worried that the boosters are waning. We're starting to see a slight uptick in infections. And again, this is only 3 months, and they may have some data showing that, you know, we've seen some people now who've gotten a third dose, who are having problems again. Here's the other thing I'll say about the boosters, and I think this has sort of gone, you know, unremarked, okay? There is not a single piece of clinical trial data in the world showing a three-dose regimen versus a placebo. So in other words, the initial tests were of people getting two doses, and then some people got a placebo. They got nothing. Then the companies went on, and they took the people who had gotten two doses, and they gave some of them a placebo and some of them a third dose. They never tested this in any trials the way it's being used right now. And when the public health authorities say, they're starting to lie about this too. They're starting to say, you know, there are other vaccines where you need a booster. This was just what we always expected. We just didn't say it at the time. That is a total lie. And they have never even tested this in the most basic way. So yeah, the idea that they're doing this, and they're not even promising the smarter ones that they're not going to ask you to do it again in 4 to 6 months, is insane.
Speaking of Alex Berenson, author of Pandemia, which comes out next week. So what do they really think is supposed to happen? I mean, what is Fauci's next move? Because it seems to me like now they're sitting around, they're going to have to tell everybody, it's just a matter of time before you're not fully vaccinated until you, right now he says you're technically considered fully vaccinated until you get a booster. They're going to change that too. Everyone's going to have to get a booster. I mean, I'm somebody who, for example, I'm not getting a booster, right? Like there are people out there just like, sorry. Like I've had enough of this personally and I'm not going to do it. So, but then again, you know, I encourage my parents to, and they went because they're at higher risk because of their age. So they went and got the boosters and I told them to. I think that's fine. But what's the plan? I mean, they want kids to get the shot now, and they don't even know if they keep talking about evading immunity, Alex, with this new Omicron. I see that phrase all over the place. They're concerned about evading immunity. So then what are we doing?
That's a good question. Why would we encourage people to get boosted against a variant that you know, the booster and the vaccines don't work very well against? And I don't know the answer to that. I'm increasingly troubled by all of this. It seems to be completely off the rails. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I want to believe that they've just sort of gotten themselves into a position that they don't know how to get themselves out of. But you know, it is, the decisions they're making are just inexplicable. And there's a lot of people like you, right? There's people like me who have not gotten vaccinated, who are not going to get vaccinated. And I think there's a lot more people like you who say, you know, I did this, I tried it, they said we would get back to normal, and nothing has changed. And people are still dying from SARS-CoV-2, and infections are still rocketing around, and now there's a new travel ban. I am not putting my body at risk again for this. I've done my part.
What is the best data, Alex? We hear less about breakthrough infection now. And you know, what do we know about? I mean, they're telling you to get boosters because clearly the protectiveness wanes. It's like you're not allowed to talk about this, though, right? Like, well, how much does it wane? I mean, what is it? Do we have any real sense of, if you got the shot in April, how protected are you now from just infection, not from hospitalization or death? We know that seems to be better.
I think you have zero protection. That's zero protection at this point from infection and transmission after 6 months, 6-7 months. That's what it looks like. There's data from Sweden on that. There's data from Israel on that. There's data from the UK on that. It all points the same way.
So they'll have to eventually, or they might eventually have to admit then that even if it's just, look, if it were 20 or 30% protection, I think a lot of people would say, that is miles and miles away from what we were told when we were told we had to get this. And wasn't the point of, it seems like getting those who are not at high risk vaccinated, there's only two benefits of it, right? The not high risk population. It would be stopping the spread. And then if you get everyone vaccinated, maybe you stop variants because you stamp out the whole virus. The second one, every person I've talked to says is completely impossible on a global scale and just insane. But the first one now, it even seems like, how is that supposed to be? Why should a 25-year-old get the shot if they can still get it and spread it?
They shouldn't. They shouldn't. I mean, you can make the argument, and they tried to scare people with this about Delta. You know, younger, healthy people are getting sick and dying from this in a way they weren't before. But the truth is, you don't actually see that in the data. Maybe people in their 50s and 60s, you know, who are sort of on the margins. Again, even if they have zero protection from infection and transmission, they're somewhat more protected against severe outcome. And here's what I would also say about that. We don't even know how long that last book. We don't, because we haven't been doing this that long. And there's considerable evidence. There's a good paper out of Sweden, again, showing that protection against severe disease and death declines pretty fast, post 6 months. So, what we know about the booster in general is that it increases your antibodies, okay? It's not clear how long, so you get your antibodies pumped up, you are temporarily protected again. But to be really protected over the long term, the way natural immunity protects you, you need to have T and B cell immunity. Okay, your immune system actually has to go through some long-term changes that help it respond to this virus if you see it again 5 or 10 years later. And there's no evidence that even a third dose, a fourth dose, a fifth dose does any of that. So, and anybody who says otherwise is lying.
Alex,
I know we got to go.
We got to have you back on Tuesday when the book's up. But go real quick, 20 seconds.
Real quick. Somebody said to me, a really smart infectious disease guy, in every case, and not just for coronavirus, immunity generated by natural infection is better than vaccination. And that's what we're seeing with this, too.
Alex Berens, and the book is Pandemia. Alex, thanks for being here. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Buck.
If there's a time to have a layer of privacy between you and big tech, it's right now. The holiday season is a time when so many of us are online shopping for one thing or another. And in the process, we're accessing free Wi-Fi sites more often. We're searching and shopping that much more. And no one needs to know your business, least of all, the big tech companies. Or for that matter, a cyber hacker parked on a free Wi-Fi site just waiting for you to log on. That layer of privacy and protection that you need comes from ExpressVPN. They provide you with a virtual private network, a way in which you can anonymize yourself while you're online. No one can see that it's you online, and no one can see what you're looking after. Secure your online data today by visiting ExpressVPN. That's ExpressVPN.com/buck. Again, ExpressVPN.com/buck. You can get an extra 3 months of protection free. Just go to ExpressVPN.com/buck.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
The stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Biden travel restrictions going into effect on Monday from South Africa and seven other nations, eight nations total. Their focus is on South Africa because that seems to be where a lot of the new Omicron variant of COVID has been found so far. But it's already spread. It's already in other countries. They don't know. They don't know, folks. We're getting back to the what do they know, what do they not know territory here. Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. Oh, man, it is a rough day for those of us who are sitting around hoping that we're going to be in a much better place as a country, as a world going into this winter time. Is this Omicron variant much more transmissible? That's the likely situation. Hopefully not much more dangerous or transmissible, but transmissibility is usually the area, the more likely area to be concerned about when it comes to these sorts of mutations. According to the, whatever I read from the expert consensus out there, which, as you know, is constantly shifting anyway, we'll continue to follow this and obviously be talking about it more on Monday. But right now they're saying, how good are the vaccines against this? We're going to come up with maybe a new version of the booster. Who knows? They don't know. There's a lot that's up in the air, but the market's reacting very negatively to it. And you've already got travel restrictions that are going into place in many countries, dozens of countries now. And that's not going to work. It's not going to work. So I'm at the point now where I'm just going to start asking, so what exactly is the plan? The plan is to kind of mask, kind of distance, get boosters every 6 months, maybe every 3 months, forever. And so is that really what they expect us to do? I think increasingly we see the answers. Yeah. They just want to be telling you what to do. And as you look at it, more people died this year than last year from COVID in the U.S. Biden was telling us 100 days of masking was going to get this under control. 100 days of masking. Where's the fact check on that? Fauci was telling us to Lysol our groceries in 2020. And remember double masking? Whatever happened to all the double? You never hear about that anymore. The science is better on double masking. More droplets caught in the mesh. I don't think so. Or maybe, I don't know. Where is it? Show me the science. Where is this super efficacy of double mask? Or they were saying N95 masks do work better. See, that's real. That is actual science. Do work better than a cloth mask, but they're not calling for it. They just keep changing and changing because they don't know how to stop this thing. If they did, they didn't tell us. That's a whole other problem. I'm still wondering, what is the plan? Because if the plan is this, we're all just waiting around and hoping, essentially. And we're going to get a lot of abuse and a lot of authoritarianism and vaccine mandates and all these things while cases just keep going up. And that's what we're heading for this winter. So Seth Rogen, not to be confused with Joe, Seth Rogen is a marginally, formerly entertaining comedian who got into a back and forth with Casey Neistat, who's a YouTuber. I don't know Casey Neistat. Heard he's a nice guy, for whatever that's worth. Heard he's a nice dude. His company was acquired by CNN some years ago for $25 million, so that sounds like fun. And then he left CNN quickly because CNN's full of lunatics. And Seth Rogen got into a back and forth with him online because Casey Neistat's car, Canadian, he's my age, 39, and his car had been broken into and burglarized in Los Angeles. And he said he got robbed, and he compared L.A. to a crime-riddled third-world blank hole. And Rogen replied, "Dude, I've lived here for over 20 years. You're nuts. It's called living in a big city." And he said, "You can be mad, but I guess I don't personally view my car as an extension of myself, and I've never felt violated any of the 15 or so times my car was broken into." 15 times? Now, maybe he was exaggerating, but that seems 15 times his car was broken into, and he thinks that's fine? He thinks that's normal? This is going, though, to the mentality that the left now, because their ideas about crime are so stupid, because their whininess about social justice and we can't have the cops doing their jobs is so absurd, that now increasingly they embrace an idea that what's the big deal? It's just your house. Let them steal some stuff. You know, let them steal some stuff. They need it more than you do. Yes. This is what they think. This is where the left goes. It's just property. Property isn't a big deal. Let them take it. They need it. Wasn't it AOC who a while back basically referred to some of these big thefts going on in stores as like a redistribution, you know, redistribution of wealth? Maybe they needed to buy food. Oh, yeah, that's right. People go steal $15,000 handbags as part of a thief mob because they're they pull up in like luxury vehicles and then they steal $15,000 handbags because they're starving. Sure. In America today, that's really happening. The left is insane on these issues. And this just goes to show you, here's another guy. Now, Seth Rogen's not very smart, but he's wealthy. He's influential. He's clearly kind of a nasty fellow, too, if you see his Twitter. And he's saying, yeah, so your car gets broken into 15 times. Big deal. Accept it, man. Accept a society where some people make excuses and break the law and it's okay. And where the state will hold you accountable. I mean, you know, sure, you want to break into someone's home, you want to steal while they're there, you want to do a home invasion, a burglary, you want to, steal their car. I mean, hell, if you listen to the prosecutors in Kenosha against Kyle Rittenhouse, you know, the mob wants to beat the crap out of you. You got to take it. You got to take it. That's the cost of being in America today, folks. That's what the left wants you to believe. No accountability, no responsibility, whatever criminals want to do to you, because they probably have a good reason for it. It's been really hard for them. And if you're wondering, you know, how does this, what does this feel like? I actually just, over the weekend, my two brothers have birthdays pretty close to each other, so we were out celebrating. And now this is, I trust all of you. You know, we're friends here. There's only, you know, it feels like I'm talking at my own kitchen table. Now, yeah, there's a few million of you, but it's like I'm talking to my friend. Because I am. So I'm just going to tell you this like a friend. I had a habit of driving around the city on an electric scooter. I know this may be a surprise. You may be saying, Buck, what the heck is going on? We need to have a red state intervention. Need to bring you out. Have you shoot some guns. Eat some steak. Do some man stuff. But I've been rolling around on this electric scooter. It's super fun. I know it's dorky. And it's not a green energy thing, okay? It's just a convenience and they're fun. I mean, I go very fast, because otherwise in New York, you just sit in traffic, and I have to move around Midtown a lot. So I take this scooter, and I've had it for about 6 months, and I mean, I've put a lot of miles on it, you know? Thing's not exactly street legal. But no, it's very dorky. And I took it to, I had a little, you know, like a bike lock. It's a very standard thing, a bike lock for it, and I locked it up on Friday, and I was at dinner with my brothers and my sister for about an hour and 15 minutes. Wasn't a very long dinner. Walk outside. This is on one of the most crowded streets in New York City. There is an actual, I'm going to have to go, the hotel wouldn't give me access to the footage, so I'm going to have to go, I guess, file a police report. You know, I don't know. Oh, gosh. They have a video camera right over the spot. So somebody, you know, you'd think maybe the criminal would pay attention to this. When it broke off the lock, stole it right in front of the video camera, could care less, rolled off on my scooter, you know. Made his getaway on the item that he stole from me, you know. So I remember I walked out there and thought, oh, of course. This is de Blasio's New York right now. And I haven't gone yet. I'll probably talk to the police about it. I don't know. I'm 50-50 on it. I have to sit there. It might be interesting to tell all of you about it. Just what it's like to try to file a, yeah, they're all saying, yeah, they're all nodding their heads. File a, you know, someone stole something from me. It's worth about $300. It's not an insignificant item. $300 scooter from me. There are some of them that cost like $900 or even more, but this was kind of a little cheap one. You know, entry level before I get up to the big stuff. You know what I mean? Get some nitrous on there, put some flames on the side of my scooter, you know, a little vroom vroom action, ladies and gentlemen. Make that scooter purr like a kitten, roar like a lion. Anyway, so I probably will go and fill out this thing and I'll see. Here's what I know is going to happen. The cops are going to look at me like, and we have video. I went and checked and I asked and they said, yeah, I explained. This was outside on the street right in front of a hotel. They have a camera right out there on the spot. So we have video of the whole thing. I'm willing to bet the guy probably didn't even put a mask on, or maybe that's the thing about masks. We're all wearing masks these days. But even if they have clear video, they're going to be like, eh, do you know how many thefts occur in this city every day now? You know how much stuff people are stealing? I can't even go into the drugstore on my corner without getting, I mean, I can't get shampoo without it being under lock and key. And I said, guys, this is crazy. I said, yeah, they steal it. They steal it. I mean, what do you want me to say? You know, this is what the store clerks, I'm not mad at them, but it's just so crazy. Every place I want to go in the store to get it. This is my own neighborhood. I live in Midtown Manhattan. I live in the most heavily trafficked part of all of New York City. And outside of it, and I was right outside of the restaurant too. I mean, I could have seen it from, well, we were a little far from the window, but otherwise I would have been able to even see what was going on. Someone just came, saw it, realized that there was a, you know, a lock on it that wasn't that substantial and just decided to, you know, steal it. 1 hour. I mean, I almost want to run an experiment now and see how quickly, if you set up in de Blasio's, New York, bikes, bicycles get stolen here all the time. If you have a nice bicycle there, you know, and I wonder how quickly it would be stolen and how many times you could go through this experiment. And here's why. Because whether you're in New York or Chicago or San Francisco or Houston or go down the list, Democrat-controlled cities, they have convinced the population that stealing is not that big a deal. People shouldn't be that severely punished for it. And if you have a problem with that, you know, something's wrong with you. Where's your desire for social justice? You say, well, hold on. Can't we all just be held accountable to the law? Can't we all just be expected to act like responsible people that don't steal? But oh, the left has a very different view of this, a very different view indeed. So, yep, it's the first time I've ever had, knock on wood, ever had anything stolen in that way in New York City. So it's kind of a reminder of what, you know, it's fine. It's wintertime. I wasn't going to be on the scooter that much anyway. But what's not fine is that I'm pretty sure the cops won't care at all. And by the way, what are they going to do, right? They're going to go find this. I'm assuming it's a guy. They're going to go find this guy. I mean, it could be a woman. Unlikely. Anyway, life in a big city. They break into your car 15 times. They steal your scooter. They break into your house. They're just stealing all your stuff. What's the big deal, the libs say? Oh, I think it's a very big deal. Mike Lindell is a great American, a patriot, an entrepreneur. He is the inventor of MyPillow. And thanks to him, I've got MyPillows on my bed right now. I've also got Giza Dream Sheets. I've got the My Slippers. I've got the MyPillow Mattress Topper. And I dry off every morning and every night when I shower with my towels. For a limited time, Mike is offering his MyPillows. Yes, the one that started it all, for his lowest price ever. You can get a standard MyPillow for $19.98, originally $69.98. That's a $50 savings with promo code Clay and Buck. The King Pillow is only $10 more. Mike is also extending his money back guarantee trial until March 1st of next year. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener specials, enter promo code Clay and Buck. Or call 800-792-3269. That's 800-792-3269 for these great radio specials. Again, use that promo code Clay and Buck when you go to MyPillow.com or call 800-792-3269.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.